Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Health Chat. I'm Linor Moudou. As people age, they are confronted with age-related health challenges, including muscle degeneration. Sarcopenia, it is a condition characterized by loss of muscle mass, quality, and strength associated with aging. Sarcopenia is experienced by many people around the world. However, the diagnosis rate of sarcopenia is as low in many, many countries, and a large number of people ignore the symptoms of muscle loss. Research shows that after age 50, people naturally lose 1 to 2% of lean leg mass annually, and one in three adults 60 and older suffer from severe muscle loss. On the show today, we will discuss muscle loss, and our guest is Sherry Torkas. She is joining us via phone, and Sherry is a pharmacist, author, and certified fitness instructor. Sherry Torkas, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Sarcopenia, we know that it is muscle loss, as I mentioned in the beginning, but can you help us understand further what it is?
Sure. Yes, I think it's a term a lot of people probably have not heard about before, but you can think of sarcopenia, the process of muscle loss with aging, similarly to what happens in the bones with osteoporosis. As we age, we know that we start to lose bone mass. Even if you're physically active, there's a difference in how our body is building and losing muscle every day, and the same happens in muscle tissue. As we are getting older, our bodies become less efficient and less able to build muscle, and muscle gets broken down at an accelerated rate. So when you think about it, you know, if you're in your, say, 50s or 60s, or even in your 40s, you might think back of how easy it was in your teens and 20s and 30s to stay fit. Mm-hmm. And you had good muscle tone, and you really maybe didn't even have to work at it that hard. But as you get older with each decade in life, it becomes more challenging for your body to build muscle. There's a shift in the equation where you have a greater breakdown of muscle than the actual amount of muscle that's being repaired and regenerated and built. Mm-hmm. And that can be really tricky, and because as we lose our muscle mass, it's not just a matter of how it affects your appearance and the fact that you notice your muscles are, you know, your skin is hanging a little bit, maybe you're getting more body fat. Mm-hmm. But there are shifts that occur where you're gaining more body fat, your metabolism slows down when you lose muscle, because muscle is what drives your metabolism. As you lose muscle, you burn fewer calories. People notice when they hit 50, 60, they gain more fat around the midsection. And you know, there can be a lot of things that happen. Also, you know, chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and a lot of other things can be impacted by sarcopenia and muscle loss.
So we'll get more into this a little later, but let's talk about muscle, because clearly this is what we are discussing, you know, when muscles are being affected over the years. Why is some people are said to be muscle when you look at them, like bodybuilders, for example, and then you have people that are average, but everybody has muscles. So help us understand the difference between somebody who would take the time to build their muscles and they look muscular, and then someone who doesn't have muscle. But in both cases, we all have muscles, and muscles are important for our health. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, when we think about building muscle and, you know, the bodybuilder body type, that's something that is more extreme and doesn't come very easy. Bodybuilders may spend, you know, an hour or two in the gym. They, you know, are pumping up their protein. They're perhaps taking other enhancing-type supplements. Mm-hmm. But it's a very difficult physique to achieve. I think most people don't want to look like a bodybuilder. They want to just look lean and fit and have good muscle tone. So really, when we're looking at that as, say, our objective, there are three key things that I recommend that can help us to achieve a healthy, fit physique and to help increase our body's ability to keep its muscle and prevent muscle loss. So the three things that are really important to that are first to make sure you're getting adequate protein. So we'll talk about what we can do to pump up the best types of protein, supplementing with essential amino acids, and I'll talk a little bit about what amino acids are and why they're so important, and then gym strategies, and I'll talk about what types of things we need to do in the gym, what's going to give you, you know, your most bang for the buck, so to speak.
Yes, and we'll definitely look at steps to prevent and even address muscle loss later. So when we talk about sarcopenia, and again, this is a term that not many people even have heard before. To be honest with you, I haven't heard about it before. I heard about muscle loss. I know what it was, but when you look at, you know, aging, the elderly, very often, I mean, it's part of the aging process, which is losing muscle. So at what age does one have to become concerned, even if it doesn't show as with an old person? But at what age should we start being conscious of our muscles and maybe doing something about it?
I think we need to be taking proactive steps in our 30s, really, because that's when it really starts to happen. Up until you reach age 30, there's a balance in your body's ability to build muscle and how the muscle is broken down, that rate at which that is occurring. Once you hit 30, though, you slowly start to break down muscle faster than you're rebuilding it. And then once we hit age 50, we can start to lose 1 to 2, even some studies say up to 3% of body fat, or sorry, body muscle, mm-hmm. as after age 50. Now, that's if you're physically active. If you're not active, so if you're not doing any type of exercise, you're not working out, you're not incorporating strategies to prevent muscle loss, mm-hmm. if you're sedentary, you actually lose muscle at an accelerated rate, so greater than 3%. Some studies say anywhere from 5, 6, 7% muscle mass can be lost per year. So it's kind of, you know, you've heard the term, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's
yes.
what happens with the muscle. And even the brain, you know, we think about how, you know, we're aware that as we get older, we start to, you know, become more forgetful, and your cognitive function may not be as good as it used to be. So we do crossword puzzles and exercises for our brain. You know, we do things to keep our heart healthy. We do activities to keep our bones healthy. We also need to be extra careful when it comes to muscle health, because muscle, again, is much more important. It's not just a physical appearance issue, but if you lose your muscle, it makes it more difficult for your body to regulate your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. It can affect your outcomes if you have cardiovascular disease or cancer. Losing muscle mass also makes you weaker, so you're more likely to have a fall, an injury, break something. And it can even affect things like sexual function and libido and sex drive and endurance and stamina, things like that. And then the big one, I think I mentioned earlier, that I know concerns a lot of people, is midlife weight gain. When they, you know, you notice that there's a shift going on in your composition. You're starting to get softer around the midsection,
yes.
more body fat. That's happening partially. It could be due to dietary factors. If you're not eating mm-hmm. properly, or you're eating too much, not getting enough exercise, but also working against you is this age-related muscle loss. Once you start to lose muscle, you burn less calories. When you burn less calories, you know, you have, say, for lunch, it's going to stick with you a lot longer than if your body is revving up at a higher rate.
So what are some of those conditions that, I know you talked about some diseases earlier, but talk to us about the conditions that are influenced by muscles and how muscles can improve them in case there's a degeneration there.
Right. So I know I was referring to diabetes earlier. Type 2 diabetes, which is, you know, a condition that affects, you know, more diabetics have type 2 diabetes than type 1. Type 2 diabetes is often hits later in life, although it can happen, you know, in your teens and 20s. Mm-hmm. It's often tied to lifestyle, not enough activity, not enough exercise, maybe eating the wrong foods, being overweight or obese. Those are some of the risk factors. And then also genetics can be a factor. If you have type 2 diabetes and you have sarcopenia, it makes it more difficult for your body to regulate your blood sugar levels. We know that muscle is actually the biggest user or consumer of blood sugar. So if you have less muscle and your blood sugar, say you have a meal, your blood sugar is high, your body is not going to use that blood sugar as efficiently, so your levels can remain high, and that may contribute to worsening of diabetes and insulin resistance and other things. So the connection there with type 2 diabetes is pretty significant. Also, heart disease, we know that having muscle loss can affect your outcomes, how you do if you have cardiovascular disease. There is some research to suggest that your muscle strength and the amount of muscle on your frame, your body, is actually more important in determining your overall health and your likelihood of death by heart disease than monitoring your blood pressure. Now, we all, you know, go to the doctor, we get our blood pressure monitored. That's important for sure. But some of the newer research is suggesting that the amount of muscle on your body frame is actually even more important. So we know that cancer, if you're experiencing cancer going through chemotherapy, if you have more muscle on your body frame, you're going to do better in treatments. Okay. That can affect your prognosis. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest concerns we have when we're treating people with cancer and chemotherapy is they wither away, they deteriorate, their appetite is down, so they start to lose, you know, their weight, especially muscle mass, and especially if you're not exercising, that can be worsened. So, you know, cancer is another disease impacted by that. I mentioned obesity and weight issues, and then hormonal disorders. If your muscle mass is low, that can affect your energy, your endurance, your stamina, and your sexual drive as well.
So, Sherry, when we think of muscle health, what is very critical? Is it nutrition or physical activity?
It's really a balance of both. There's actually the three key factors that I recommend, which is pumping up your protein, making sure you're getting the right essential amino acids, because essential amino acids are what your body uses for the process called muscle protein synthesis, which is that building of muscle. Mm-hmm. And then we also need to do resistance training exercises. So, you know, if we talk about the first factor, which is the protein, I know as a pharmacist and somebody who talks to people a lot about diet and nutrition, that people, you know, I find a lot of people are steering away from meat. They're going with more vegetarian diets, which can be healthy.
Yes, I know. It seems to be a fad.
Pardon me?
I say it seems to be a fad, a very trendy right now.
Yeah, vegetarian diets, you know, people do it for all kinds of reasons. It's definitely a healthy diet. If you have, you know, heart disease, you know, there's concerns about your meat and the saturated fat and all of that. People tend to go with more plant-based diets. And if you're trying to lose weight, it's popular. And just veganism as well is also very kind of trendy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever your reasons, if you are following a plant-based diet, you have to be aware that it becomes very difficult to get enough protein to support your body's ability to build muscle. So, because meat really provides the you know, most ideal sources of the complete proteins, all those essential amino acids. Now, you can get essential amino acids through plants, but you don't get as much of them. So there is a lower level, and you have to really look at your needs, you know, just to maintain your weight. I mean, when we look at the recommendations for protein intake, the recommended daily allowance, the RDA, for protein is 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. So if you know, think about that. You can calculate your weight in kilograms. If you take what your weight is in pounds, and say if you're 150 pounds and divide that by 2.2, that's 68 kilograms, okay? So this is just an example. And if you're 68 kilograms and you need to have 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram, then you're looking at you need to have about 55 grams of protein per day.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Well, if you're following a vegetarian diet, it means you really have to pay attention to, you know, loading yourself up with nuts and seeds and chickpeas, peanuts, spirulina, umami, stuff like that. If you include eggs in your diet, that they're a great source of protein. Yogurt, Greek yogurt as well.
Okay.
But really, to increase muscle mass, you need more than that 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram body weight. Some studies suggest that we need about double that amount.
Okay.
So, you know, in my example, I was giving you what the minimum is, that 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. That's the minimum. You need, if you're looking at rebuilding, if you've lost muscle, you want to rebuild it, you got to boost that up. And, you know, be aware that if you're, again, following a vegetarian diet, it becomes a little trickier to get enough protein. And I find women in particular, and studies show this as well, that women tend to be more deficient when it comes to protein intake, whether it's they're eating smaller portions, not enough meat, or, again, following that vegetarian diet, they aren't getting enough protein. So that would be the first thing to look at.
Okay, and we'll talk more. We'll have more of your advice and tips. We have to take a short break, and this is such a critical conversation, because a lot of time we don't realize how much we are affecting our muscles, whether it's for good or bad, and we need to take care of it. So we will continue our discussion on sarcopenia and muscle loss in a moment with our guest Sherry Talkers. But first, the news with Priscilla Diwa.
New studies suggest that moderate drinkers who quit may be able to achieve bigger improvements in well-being than the rest of us. For the current studies, researchers examined data on more than 10,000 adults in Hong Kong who were non-drinkers or moderate drinkers. They followed half of the participants for at least 2.3 years. Women who stopped drinking during the study had bigger gains in well-being than women who were non-drinkers at the start. Men who had the biggest gains in well-being were former drinkers when they joined the study. To verify the link between cessation and well-being, researchers also looked at data from a nationally representative survey of over 31,000 American adults. For women who were moderate drinkers, quitting was associated with favorable changes in well-being in both Hong Kong and the U.S. The International Organization for Migration warns massive displacements from renewed inter-ethnic fighting in DR Congo's Ebola-affected Ituri province poses a serious health hazard. At least 160 people were killed during renewed clashes early last month. UN agencies report the violence has displaced hundreds of thousands of people and sent more than 7,500 refugees fleeing for their lives into neighboring Uganda. The International Organization for Migration reports people who have fled the front line of the conflict are living in difficult conditions that create a fertile ground for the spread of disease, most worryingly, Ebola. According to the World Health Organization, over 2,300 people have been affected with Ebola and 1,606 have died. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing muscle loss with our guest, Sherry Talkers, and she is a pharmacist, an author, and a certified fitness instructor. So, Sherry, before the break, you were talking to us about your three steps to addressing muscle loss, whether it's preventing or addressing it. You talked about protein first. And you made such a good point when you talk about the fact that a lot of times we see that women tend to be protein deficient more than men, and for whatever reasons. So talk to us further about what we can do to really keep our muscles healthy.
Yeah, so just to finish up my point about protein intake and women, and I was giving some examples of plant-based proteins. I was talking about nuts and seeds. Peanuts are great. Almonds, cashews, chickpeas, if you can throw those onto your salads or eat hummus. spirulina is a good source of protein as well, although it's not as popular for everybody. But edamame, I love edamame as well, or tofu, good source of protein. If you are eating animal products, having Greek yogurt is has much more protein than, say, regular yogurt. Also, eggs are a good source of protein, and then, of course, meat. But what I would do is really take a look at how much you're eating on an average day. And if you're falling short, then I would consider taking a good protein supplement. And there are many different protein powders on the market. I recommend something like a whey protein. And if you look for something that is really geared towards your age group, whether you're 40 or 50 and above, there's one that I take by a company called Boomer Nutrition, which is really good. And it has some extra factors in there to help with your body's ability to utilize that protein. So protein is key. And then that brings me to my second point, which is the amino acids. So the reason why our body needs protein is protein provides our body with amino acids. And there are some amino acids that are called essential, meaning your body requires these amino acids, and we have to get them through food. They're not, obtained from any other sources or supplements. So
what type of food?
So meat provides your most highest sources of essential amino acids. So if you're eating meat, you may be getting enough of, some of the essential amino acids. But what I have found in doing some research in this area is that a lot of people just simply aren't getting enough of these essential amino acids that are necessary to stimulate muscle protein synthesis.
So you talk about meat. What about those who eat fish? For me, for example, I eat a lot of fish, whether it's salmon or tilapia. Is this enough for as a source of protein?
Yeah, you do get some essential amino acids through fish, but not as much as you would get through if you were eating other sources of meat. So, you really have to kind of write out again what your daily diet is, and then you can go online and you can type in what you're eating, and you can look up to see what your amount of protein you're getting. But the key is with these essential amino acids, they really are what drives the process of muscle protein synthesis. And what happens is if we're not getting enough of certain amino acids, our body is not able to optimally rebuild and repair and regenerate and stimulate that muscle protein synthesis. So what I have found in doing some consulting work and research in this area is that if you can supplement with some amino acids, that can really give your body an edge in terms of driving muscle protein synthesis. And there's an amino acid blend that I was introduced to not too long ago. It's called Rejuvenate. Yes. And Rejuvenate, it's a powder, comes in little packets, and it's been shown in studies to increase this process of muscle protein synthesis by about 57%. So that's pretty significant, for the average person who's trying to get enough protein, trying to exercise, do all the right things, but maybe really not noticing the benefit. This could be that key to give you that edge you're looking for in terms of increasing your body's ability to rebuild that lost muscle.
And what about alternatives in case someone cannot have access to that product?
I'll just finish my point there.
Okay.
What I was going to say with this Rejuvenate formula, it has been clinically studied. It's been studied for about 25 years. There's 17 clinical studies. And interestingly, most of the research was done on people that were not getting a lot of exercise. They were, say, recovering from surgery. And we know that when people are not physically active, if you're laid up due to a surgery or an injury, you start to lose your muscle and you start to lose bone. So some of the really fascinating research was done on people that weren't necessarily exercising or moving, but were still able to increase their muscle mass by using this particular supplement formula, this amino acid formula. So that you can find in Walmart. It's also online. RejuvenateMuscle.com is the website if you do want to take a look at. There's some really fascinating information there about how this can work to boost muscle protein synthesis. So for people that are again looking for that edge, this is really, I think, a good solution. And the third factor that's really essential is exercise. And, you know, we all hear that it's important to exercise for a lot of reasons. Good for your heart, good for your brain, good for your sleep. But it's really important for your muscles that you do exercises that will stimulate muscle growth. And those exercises are resistance training exercises, so working out with weights or tubes like exercise bands or even using your own body weight as resistance. Those types of exercises are the most effective for stimulating muscle growth. So compared to, for example, aerobic activities, walking, swimming, bike riding, great exercises for your heart, for stimulating blood flow and circulation, but those exercises don't strain the muscles in the same way as doing focused exercises with weights or tubing. So as a former fitness instructor, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people about just ways they can include more exercise into their daily routine, not necessarily going to a gym. If you can go to a gym, that's great. But if you can't, if you don't have the means or it's not convenient, you go into, you know, any old store, you can pick up some light hand weights, some tubes, you can use your own body weight. Push-ups, squats, lunges, sit-ups, things like that, those are resistance exercises.
So how much of it that do we need? Does it depend on the gender, the age, where we are in terms of our health? Because when it comes to exercise, I mean, I think a lot of people will agree that not many people want to go to the gym and want to exercise in general. You know, not a lot of people are inclined to doing some exercise routine. So how much of it do we need?
Yeah, so I would start, if you're currently not exercising at all, even starting with, say, 5-10 minutes a day is a big step in the right direction. And you can do that, again, in your own home. So if you're not physically fit, if you haven't been exercising, you want to be careful. Start slow, gradually increase the amount of weight you're using. You can do squats, lunges. You can, you know, go beside a chair for support and to help with balance. I mean, you can look online. There's tons of examples of ways that you can get fit doing exercises with little to no equipment. And I would say aim for at least 4 sessions a week and try to do maybe 20 to 30 minutes. That would be your goal. But if you're not exercising right now, again, you don't start with 20 or 30 minutes. Start with, say, 5 or 10 minutes and gradually increase as your body's able to handle it. So I think that's really key, because if you do those 3 things, that trifecta of increasing your protein, taking the amino acids, and hitting the gym or getting some resistance exercises, that's really going to be the best way to improve your body's ability to build muscle.
So what is the takeaway, Sherry Talkers, before we wrap? And what would you like people to take away from this? Because it's a lot of information that you give us, all of it very, very important. So if we were to summarize it, what would you say? And actually, I would like to, perhaps you can make a distinction between people that have already are already experiencing muscle loss, like the elderly, and then those of us who are not there yet.
Well, what I will say is your muscle is important for your overall health. So don't think of it as a vanity issue or a physical appearance issue, but muscle is important for your health, your longevity. So we need to be mindful of strategies that can preserve our muscle and build muscle. So if you're currently listening and you're 60, 70, you've already lost muscle, don't despair. You can actually rebuild that lost muscle. And I talked about the 3 key things today to help rebuild that lost muscle: protein, the amino acids that can help to rejuvenate your muscle. You can check out the Rejuvenate Muscle, the Rejuvenate Protein Amino Acid Supplement, and then increasing your activities with resistance training. And the advice holds true also if you're, say, listening in your 30s and 40s and you're looking towards prevention. Just make sure you're getting enough of protein in your diet. That's really critical that you do those right types of exercises. Be proactive. It's always easy to prevent things, but again, if you're in that position where you're 60, 70, or 80 and you've already lost muscle mass, it is still possible to rebuild that lost muscle. So that's the great news here, is that it's never too late. And thankfully, our bodies do have a remarkable ability to recover and rebuild and repair. We just need to give them the right elements. So you can check out my website as well, because I have information posted on my website on this topic. And my website is sherrytorkus.com. So if you go to Sherry, SherryTorkus, SherryTorkus.com. I have an article called Reversing Body Changes Associated with Aging.
So they'll check it out. We have to leave it there. Sherry Torkus, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. I'm your host, Lenor Mudu in Washington, with producer Des McKernan, Priscilla Diwa with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is V.